We have Maria Reuters here with us today. Thank you for coming, Maria. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you introduce yourself and give your background.
Okay, my name is Maria Reuters. And usually after I talk for a little bit, people ask me, oh, where are you from? So let me just answer that right away. I grew up in Germany. I actually have two careers. So one is as a teacher and one is in software. Over my professional life, I went back and forth, basically. So I think I'm going to talk mostly about my jobs in the computer field. But just a little background. In Germany, when I went to school, we still had schools for the blind. I'm there here too. But every blind person would go to such a school. They were not mainstreamed at that point. They are now. And I'm low vision. I have learned Braille in that school. But I also use my vision still with glasses. And I have to hold the print very close. It's very slow. And the other thing is I also use JAWS and Zoom text at this point. However, when I went to school, there were no such things. I mean, there was Braille, of course, but computers were just kind of at the beginning of being interesting to everybody. My first job was as a teacher in this school for the blind that I went to. So I went to the school for the blind, then I went to a university to become a high school teacher. And I taught math for the most part and also German, the way, you know, you have English here. So now at the same time, I was going to get married and my now husband was American. So that was a little difficult there. So we made the decision that, you know, after I had taught for 3 years, that we were getting married and my husband lived here and he had a career in computers, software. So I was going to move to Boston to do a totally new thing. This was kind of a little difficult decision because I already had a career. I had a good job. And moving to a country that I spoke English then, but not all that fluently. So it was a big decision, I have to say. But I thought it would be a good decision and I would do something new, something different. At that time, I just became interested in computers. And computers, you know, it was something totally different than it is now. First of all, there was no JAWS, no Zoom text. None of these. I had to use my vision. I had to either use a monocular or a pair of glasses and have my nose on the screen. But I was interested enough to do that. So, no, I don't know, Jeffrey, what would a blind person do at that point? And when, like in the 80s, you couldn't
just
use them.
Just couldn't use them at all.
Right. Still, when I was in Germany, I just taught myself this computer language called BASIC. And I wanted to teach it to my students. But unfortunately, I could only take students who had some vision at that point. So it was just the way it was. I got married in 1980. I moved to Boston, to Arlington. And I didn't think I could easily find a job as a teacher because teachers at that time were being laid off. Of course, I didn't have the requirements. I didn't meet the requirements that you have to fulfill to become a teacher here in this country. I had gone to school for a long time and I just felt like I want to get work as soon as possible. Now, that's not so easy when you're from a different country, from a different career. But I was interested in computers, in programming, and my husband had a career in programming, software engineering. So he thought that would be so cool if I could also find a job there. And he helped me. He told me, okay, maybe you should send your resume to this company and this company. And, you know, he knew what was going on in the different companies. So I did that, and the way you send resumes then was also a little different because now you just go on the internet and you look around and you respond to certain websites where they ask you send their your resume per email, things like that was not available. There was no such thing as the internet. So I had to write them on a typewriter. You are probably not used to that anymore because the problem with the typewriter is if you make a mistake, there is no backspace. I mean, you just have to use whiteout or in a resume, you have to basically start over till you get it right. No mistakes. So I sent out some of these resumes And, you know, first of all, I didn't get any answers, no responses. Or if I got a response, it was a letter saying, we thank you for your resume, but at this point, you know, we can't, we'll put your resume on file. Something like that. Well, that was something, you know. At least they responded to me. And I was prepared to not get a job right away. So at that time, I also took some computer courses at Boston University. One was Pascal, which was a computer language, but I'm not going too technical here. Eventually, there was a company that was interested in meeting me. And this company was Intermetrics. They were in Cambridge, and we lived in Arlington, and that was very close. So I was very interested in going there and meeting them. So I had the interview, and they had 300 people then, and they had never worked with a blind person or with a visually impaired person. And they asked me, you know, do you think you could do this, and how do you work with computers? So I told them that I was using my glasses and my monocular. And so it took a long time because they had kind of a hiring freeze. They weren't hiring people at that point. But they kept me on their file, and maybe 3 months later, I got my first job. So totally it was 6 months till I got my first computer job. Now, I also have to say that at that time, it was relatively easy to get a job in the computer field because they were just looking everywhere, and this was such a growing field. And I got a job in spite of the fact that I didn't have a degree in computer science. I had taught myself some programming, and I was taking these programming classes. But it wasn't unusual at that time to get a job if you were like that. Today, I would definitely recommend that, you know, if you're interested in such a thing, that you get a college degree in that field. I started my job, and this is very technical stuff, so I don't want to get too detailed. But basically, what they wanted me to do is testing their programs. So the developers, the ones that wrote the programs, would just give me certain pieces of program, and I had to test those and then tell them, okay, this doesn't work, and then they had to fix it, and I had to test it again. So that was basically my job. I didn't have to read a whole lot because it wasn't like everybody would send you emails and documentation. Yeah, I had to read documentation, but it's not like you didn't have to read pages and pages and pages of things. I wouldn't have been able to do that. It was perhaps enough to read 3 pages per day, so on average maybe, or less. And I could read that in print, I could print it out, or read it on the computer screen.
What year was that?
This was in 1981. Even with my slow reading and being very close to the screen, I was able to do this job. Then I had kids, two children, and I wanted to work part-time. Fortunately, they let me do that. And I wanted to work in such a way that I worked every day, but only till 1 o'clock, like from 8 to 1, and then I left and would pick up my children and go home and have the rest of the day with them. And that was very important to me. So I was there working part-time after the first couple of years, and I did that for a long time. I was at this company for 15 years, which is a long time to be at a company.
Is it still there?
No. They moved to Burlington from Cambridge, and then I decided, now I have to look for a different job. I mean, I could have worked in Burlington, but I was so spoiled because I could get to work in a half hour. And, Burlington, that would have taken probably 1.5 hours or something like that on public transportation. I stayed at Intermetrics for a long time, and my career didn't move very far. I just basically stayed doing what I did get some projects where I had to develop programs, which that was the kind of thing that I wanted to do. But then eventually they put me back in testing, or QA, which stands for quality assurance. You know, everybody else was kind of moving ahead. They started in testing in QA, but then they either moved to the next stage, development job, or if they were not given such an opportunity, they just left the company and looked for something else, something better. Now, I could couldn't do that because I wanted my part-time job. I wanted to be close to the children because if, you know, the school called me and, you know, your son isn't feeling well, please pick him up. And, you know, I wanted to have that opportunity. And the other thing, of course, was that I didn't have a degree in computer science. So I liked working there on one part. But on the other side, I would have really liked to move forward a little more, which was difficult because it was also very kind of technical, the stuff that I was that we were working on. That it's called compilers. Compilers still exist, but they have been pretty much developed. It's basically very close to the computer. They translate a language, a programming language, into a machine language that the computer understands. So that's what that is. It's very difficult and very technical. And I was in a company where I was stuck in a way. But I didn't want to move. I didn't want to look for a different job. And whenever we had layoffs, I was happy that I wasn't among the layoffs. So then, I think this was in 96, so this was 15 years later. And by then, we had JAWS now. We had, well, Windows. We had Windows. And that was something that I had to learn. I did have something before JAWS. I don't remember, Vert Plus or something like that. But I was pretty much still working my old ways. So then Intermetrics was moving to Burlington, and I looked for a different job. This time, I worked with a headhunter, a job agency. So you call them, and you say, okay, I'm looking for such and such a job, and can you please find me a job like that? You don't have to pay anything for that because the companies have to, you know, once when they hire you, they have to pay the agent a certain fee. So I got with an agency and they sent me, this was a good time again to look for a job because all these companies in the 90s were looking for people who have any experience with computers. It didn't take a long time for this person to find a company that wanted to interview me. Now, this was in Boston, in near South Station. It was called Thompson Financial, and I think they still exist. So I interviewed with them, and this time I had done testing. Testing was really my experience. QA, quality assurance, that was my experience. So I told them, okay, that's my experience, and that's where I want to work. This time I got into a testing group, into a quality assurance group, and I felt so much better there in general because I wasn't just always the only, you know, person singled out to do testing again. But we were a group, and we were kind of, you know, I had people to talk to, and it just felt so much better to be part of a group than, you know, being this individual who is always going back to testing, even though I was basically testing, but that wasn't, you know what I mean? It was just a totally different situation for me now. And I knew, okay, this is where I belong, and this is the work that I can do. I was I immediately, you know, pretty much felt like, oh yeah, I've done this, I can do this. And also at this point I got JAWS, and I had to read much more. So we had to read a lot of emails, and people were just writing a lot more on the computers. And this company they were publishing financial reports. People would use them to recommend stocks to buy, what you should buy, what you should sell, where you should invest. I don't know anything about this, but that was okay. I needed to make sure that it works, that the things that they wanted to publish go out, and that it doesn't all of a sudden stop. If it stops, why is that? Some computer crashed, and you know, that's what I have to do. So I stayed there for 4 years, and then I got a bad review. So that's another thing that I should talk about. In most companies, each year, you get a review about your work. They tell you what you did well, where you could make improvements, you know, things like that. And my reviews were always such that I was pretty happy with them. They were average or above average or something like that. But that time, I got a review which was below average, and a friend of mine got the same review, and we were not happy with it at all, and we didn't think that we deserved such a review because we had really done good work. This was now in 2000. Times were still very good for people in the computer field, and this time I didn't even use a headhunter. The web was there now, and I looked around what companies were looking for applicants. So I sent my resume via email, the way you do it now, to these companies. I got a couple of interviews. One of the jobs was at Alewife, which is very close to where I live. But they told me they were moving to Newton, which is not close to where I live. So I had to make that decision. Do I really want to do that? I decided, yes, the company looked very exciting to me. And again, I worked in QA because this was now my experience. I got into a very nice group, and the company then was called Allaire. After they moved to Newton, they got bought by a different company called Macromedia. I worked on things like a program that you use to create your own websites. So that was very interesting and much more less, you know, technical than compilers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So if I told people what I was doing, they could at least understand what I was doing. So I learned a lot there. You know, each time you switch to a new job, you have to learn a lot. So I did, but it was a lot of fun. In Newton, I took the train out to Newton Riverside, which is quite a long trip. But then I found someone to carpool with back. Someone who lived in Arlington. So that worked out. Then, 2 years later, everything went bad in the computer field. And I got laid off, along with basically most of my group, the developers and the QA people and the technical writers. Oh, it was just such a tragedy. I have to tell you, in the 90s, I never thought that it would be difficult to find a job in this field because, you know, everybody was always looking for people and you didn't have to have a degree in computer science. But now I was there, I was laid off. I sent my resume to a lot of companies. I got a few interviews, but there were basically now many more people than there were jobs. After a while, I got interviews, but I didn't get the jobs. So after a while, I said, okay, why don't I just, you know, stay at home for a little bit and see what that's like. And I did some things that I always wanted to do, like planting things in the garden. And then I got restless again, but I thought, maybe I'll try something different now. Computer jobs were now getting better, but I thought, okay, you know, I have other fields, I know other qualities. I know Braille, I have now learned JAWS and Zoom Text and things like that. Maybe I can go back to my career as a teacher. And so I talked to the Commission for the Blind, and my counselor said, well, how about an informational interview? There we go.
Great.
And so I didn't even, you know, I was like you. I didn't quite know what that was supposed to be. But I got an informational interview with Rabia Dow, who I work for right now. And I told him what I had done. I did some observing there at the Carroll Center. And I worked in the youth program in YIT for the first summer and then the next summer. And then eventually they hired me permanently. And there I am now at the Carroll Center. And now I'm teaching the adults over the year, and then the kids, high school kids, in the summer. I think I should probably talk a little bit more about the computer field. You know, testing is just one area that you can work. That's basically where I worked. You know, there are engineers, software engineers. They want to work in development. They want to develop things. You can also, there are other jobs. You can work as a technical writer. So, for instance, if you are good in English, for instance, you can write well. That's also a good field in computer companies. Software needs documentation, otherwise people don't understand how to use it. If you can write clear documents, good documents, that's also, you know, a very, very good field where, you know, sometimes computer science and good English comes together. And nowadays, a lot of people are talking about networks. Like right now, my husband works for someone, and on the side, he helps him creating a network for different computers so that they can talk to each other, basically. There are others, you know, customer support. You know, let's say you have a JAWS or something like that, and, you know, certain things don't work. You call Freedom Scientific, right? And then you talk to them and they explain, okay, you know, what you have to do is such and such and such. That's also a field that you could look at. Some people now who worked in software companies now have their own business. So they are kind of like computer doctors. Mm-hmm. So people call them and, you know, my computer doesn't work. Can you please, you know, look at this? That's another area. There's a lot of possibilities. Another thing that has changed is that a lot of times you can work from home. There are people who have a job maybe in California. A friend of mine is just taking a job in California, but he lives here. So he has to work over different time zones. And, you know, with the globalization, that happens a lot. You're not necessarily in an office every day. So that depends very much on the kind of work that you do. I can certainly talk about how was it for me being visually impaired and all that kind of stuff, you know, if you're interested in that. But
taking the classes, how did you manage that? And did you encounter employers who were hesitant to hire you because you were visually impaired? I mean, I don't know if they said
that. Mm-hmm. They would never say that, I think. Yeah. And I have to say that, particularly for the last two jobs in the computer field, the situation was so good that, you know, if you had good qualifications, and I had already at that point done this work at Intermetrics, so I had a lot of qualifications in QA, I didn't see any big problems there. The first time, I think people were more hesitant in the 80s, and it was also really kind of an iffy situation for me. I wasn't quite sure how this is going to work out because there was no things. I was reading very slowly, and, you know, what if people print something out and it takes me a long time to read something, and it was just something that I wanted to try. At the job interviews, I didn't necessarily feel that was a problem. You know, the first time, that's always a new situation. The last job interviews where I didn't get the jobs, you know, there were so many other people that didn't have a vision problem, that didn't get jobs then. I don't think that was... At that time, friends would bring you in to a job. Other people's friend would bring their friends, you know, and so it was just difficult at that time. And how did I take classes? At that time, this was basically in the 70s, 80s, we had readers. They would read books on tape for us. In my situation, in math, that wasn't enough because people would write on the blackboard and I couldn't follow it. So I had to always go back to the books and pick courses where they would follow pretty much the book or tell you, you know, you can read this on page such and such. And so often, if I hadn't read ahead, the class was actually a total waste. Then, you know, I would just sit there and lose what's going on, and then I had to go back and read. That's what I had to do in computer science as well. Now, today, these things are so much easier because if you take a class in computer science, you will probably get a disc. There's all kinds of examples and things like that. So you can, if it is accessible, you can read it with JAWS or... So it's a lot easier today, I think.
And people are more tuned into reasonable accommodations. And
yeah,
things that probably
right, and they have to be. Now, there was one time where I actually had an advantage, and that was in the last company, because everybody now was talking about accessibility, and people had no idea what they were talking about. So some of them did, but most of them didn't. So I could talk. They asked me, you know, why don't we have meet at lunch, and you tell me what the problems are, and how can we make our this program was called Homesite. How can we make that more accessible? And so that was kind of a good situation for me, because I was the expert now, right? And I could explain what we had to do, and you know, how to make it accessible, how to make it better, and all that. And that was also something that I was looking into after I got laid off, if I could possibly work in an accessibility job. Somehow I just kind of, I don't know, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do, and I'm quite happy now. So
what about your kids?
Yeah, my daughter is in San Francisco. She's 26, and my son is 24. Right now, he's in Nicaragua for 3 months.
But I wondered if they took after their parents, and are they in the computer field?
Or? No. I mean, they are, of course, computer users, like everybody now. But, you know, all their friends are on Facebook, and they use instant messaging, and I don't know what, right, texting and all that kind of stuff. But they didn't want to. They were not interested.
But, I mean, you were a real pioneer. I mean, not only to be low vision, but in those days, there weren't a lot of women in computer fields, were there? When you started out in the 80s?
That's right. There weren't that many women. And that's another thing. The women were usually around the edges, like where I was in QA and in technical writing. And so the hardcore,
the program,
that was mostly done by men. But there were women. I mean, not that many. Now, I don't know. It's probably still more men, but the ratio is much closer now. Nobody would now think that it's unusual for a woman to be an engineer in that field. If you are visually impaired, you don't think too much about the others, like being a woman, or, you know, because that being visually impaired is much more kind of a challenge. Being a woman, I didn't even think twice about that, really. I mean, yeah, I saw, you know, there are more men, but that was never really an issue for me.
Maria, it sounds like you've done a lot of interviewing, and I'm curious about your experience with introducing your vision issue to employers. When did that happen? Was it on your resume? Was it during the first interview? How did you handle that?
I know everybody has different ideas on this. You know, people have different ideas. And I don't exactly remember what I did the first time at Intermetrics, but definitely the second and third time, when I worked with the headhunter, I told her that, you know, I'm visually impaired, so she could introduce it if she wanted to. I think she did, probably. You know, she sent my resume to them, and I never put it on my resume. I did not put anything in my resume that, you know, people might think that I'm blind or I have no vision. But then, you know, the second time, that I think the headhunter probably told them, but to absolutely make sure that they knew, when you get a call, or I got a call from the person, or from somebody, usually from human resources, they call you and they say, okay, you are going to talk to such and such. At that point, I would say, I just want to let you know that I have a vision problem, I'm visually impaired, and I may need some help. Because when you go into a job interview, the first thing you often have to do is fill out a form. So I couldn't do that very easily. I just let them know before I came in. But after I already had been told that I was going to have the interview, that was my solution for this.
But how did you handle filling out an application?
Somebody at the reception, one time, I think my husband came with me for the last job. The first time, I think I didn't have to do that.
Today, like, you know, I go into staffing agencies and places all the time. The first thing they say is fill out this application.
Right.
So if I were legally blind,
well,
I would...
Well, that's
the receptionist. I need help.
Yeah, that's why you have to deal with this ahead of time. I don't think it makes a lot of sense, in my opinion, to go into an interview and oops.
I can't see.
This person is blind, or this person, you know.
Because
then it's, in my opinion, they have to be prepared a little bit to kind of meet someone who, then they can think about, also they can think about questions they want to ask you. That's my opinion. Different people do it different ways.
In all the companies you worked, were there like PR or communications people? Was there a department for that?
Public relations.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. At Macromedia, definitely. Mm-hmm. And Thompson Financial, yes. Yes, there were.
Because that's what Savannah's interested in.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's good. If you are interested in that, I think of other, you know, of other things that you're interested in. Like, let's say you are interested in history or something like that. Build on that too. Because that way, if you have a strong background in some subject or some area, like if you're interested in museums or, you know, something like that, then it's more likely that you find a job there with your career in PR or communications. Then also you have a subject that you can, you know, you can talk about. You apply at the museums, just as an example.
The music schools, because you play piano.
Right. Use your other interests. Develop them. Develop your other interests with your studies.
And you went to the university.
I took some classes there. I didn't, you know, just the BU has an extension program, like other schools do. And I took these classes at night, like from 6 to 9. They had a class once a week. They were mostly adults who were developing their career. They were working during the day, and I wasn't working then, so I had lots of time to do my homework. So.
And you probably needed it.
Yeah. I did, because sometimes I remember one time my English was, you know, I couldn't understand everything, and there was this Russian professor, and so he had a strong accent, and he talked about assignment, and I thought that was something that we had to do at home, was, you know, your assignment is this. But then I realized he's talking about assignment statement, which is a computer, you know, programming term. So I was totally confused sometimes. So I just always had to go back to my books.
When you were working doing your quality assurance, do you feel like you were able to work as efficiently and produce as much output as your coworkers?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was definitely doing that. Because, you know, I was doing this at Intermetrics for such a long time and always being sent back to it. I always thought, well, I would really like to get out of this and do some, you know, development. If I hadn't felt that I'm creating the same output as other people, I would probably not have asked for any more difficult work. I just had my ways. I mean, I read very slowly, but I guess I was able to retain better what I was reading and didn't have to read it over so many times. There were sometimes situations where I couldn't keep up. I particularly remember one, and that was when I all of a sudden had to work on a Mac. So I had never even seen, at that time, I hadn't even seen a Windows machine. I absolutely couldn't handle this. I tried and I tried and I couldn't. And then, you know, I talked to my boss and I was taken off of that project because, you know, I had to go back to something else. But that didn't happen very often. I think maybe, you know, at least once, maybe twice. But in general, I felt that I was as productive as everybody else. And by the way, after this thing where I couldn't do my work, I heard about a group called Vibug, and it's a wonderful group for visually impaired computer users. It's visually impaired and blind user group, and users is for computer user. And they get together every month, basically, except for July, I think. And we have different topics. Like last time, we talked about the Braille Plus, and you may have heard about it. It's another PDA, and you know we talk about all kinds of things. So I think that if you know Braille, that's also a big plus, you know, if you have a Braille display. And, you know, just keep it up. I mean, for me, I learned it when I was 15 or so. And I did everything in Braille for, you know, 4 or 5 years. But then I didn't do much with Braille because there were no Braille displays. And I couldn't get the things that I needed in Braille. So so I basically used cassettes and stuff. Computers later, but now I'm teaching Braille again. It can be very useful to you, you know, with writing, and you probably know that already.
Well, thank you, Maria.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That was very awesome.